כדי מסילת ישרים writes, after he describes that the world that we're in is a world of preparation for Olam Haba. Now we already learned that to prepare for something, the preparation is in that thing. If somebody's preparing to play basketball, they're playing a game, so they prepare by playing basketball. They don't prepare by playing hockey. Whatever you're preparing for, you're involved in that. So when we're preparing for Olam Haba, a existence of tremendous Gan Eden, so the preparation for Gan Eden is to live in Gan Eden, in this world. A person could live in this physical world. There are many, many people in this world. We all live in the same world, but we're all different, and we're living in different worlds. Not everybody in this world is living in the same world. There are people in this world who live in Gan Eden. They're in Olam Haba type of life. Their days begin in Gan Eden, and their relationships are in Gan Eden. Even their challenges are Gan Eden type. And all that happens, even the difficult things, they're still on the Gan Eden track. So preparation for Gan Eden is to live a life of pleasure. If a person is not living a life of pleasure, then they're obviously not preparing for Gan Eden. They're doing something else. So says the Mesilat Yesharim that Gan Eden is a spiritual place. We live in a physical world. So how does a physical world prepare for a spiritual pleasure? How could that be? Two different currencies. One is physical, one is spiritual. In a physical world, you could enjoy physical things. In a spiritual world, you could enjoy spiritual things. But how do you prepare in a physical world for a spiritual situation? So it says the Mesilat Yesharim, and this I think we learned, Ha'emtza'im ha'magi'im et ha'adam letachlit hazeh, which means the way in this world a person is able to reach in Olam Haba existence, Hem ha-mitzvot asher tzivanu alehen ha-el yitbarach shemo. These are the mitzvot that Hashem commanded us. So the mitzvot that we have in this world are the tickets to Olam Haba in this world. And Olam Haba, of course, for eternity. Unfortunately, for most people, their introduction to mitzvot happened when they were little. So their understanding of mitzvot and therefore observance of mitzvot is usually also at a very immature level. One obvious example that people make when thinking of mitzvot is that they are good deeds. So mitzvot are not good deeds. That's already mistake number one. While mitzvot are good, but calling them good deeds is like taking a nuclear reactor and saying, oh, it's got some strength. Mitzvot are much more than good deeds. Mitzvot are something else. The word mitzvah doesn't mean good deed. The word mitzvah means commandment. In the Sefer Aleshur, here I brought it for you, He says, if somebody were to come and ask us, what would define the Torah that we have? If we had to define it in a few words, what would we call the Torah? What does it do for a person? So he says the most interesting words. He says that the Torah puts a person, and the mitzvot of the Torah, put a person in what he calls as Olam HaYedidut, which means a world that is friendly. What does that mean, a world that is friendly? How many worlds are there? The answer is that the world that we're living in could be a very friendly world, or it could be an unfriendly world. Imagine a person who is spending time with friends that they've known each other for many, many, many years. Friends that they like each other, they're happy to be with each other, they're comfortable with each other. They're very happy spending time together because they know the lingo, they understand each person, they know what each person means, they know what each person is trying to say or do. It's very comfortable being around people that you're familiar with. When you're in a room with people that you're not so comfortable with, we'll call them strangers, so it becomes a little more tense. It's not as happy. You have to be careful with what you say. You have to try to understand what that person meant when they said that or when they didn't say that. And it becomes not so comfortable. You just want to leave at some point. Olam HaYedidut means that this world could be a place that is friendly. Friendly means it's a very comfortable place. What happens in Olam HaYedidut? What happens to me if I live in Olam HaYedidut? So, in Olam HaYedidut, there's a lot of ahava. There's a lot of love. There's love to myself, because I appreciate myself, because I know how to measure what it means to be someone valuable. Love of people in my life, my family, my parents, my children, my spouse, my cousins, love of my community, the people who I'm with, love in my business, ahava. The Olam HaYedidut, if we're in this world, it's a world that is full of ahava. Not only is it full of my ahava to others, but it's also full of my feeling of ahava from others. By nature, people love others, even though it may not feel that way. But by nature, actually, people love each other. But unfortunately, sometimes their issues come into play, and they have all kinds of issues internally, and sometimes things that go on out there. And that causes people to get angry and to have all these feelings of either hatred or jealousy or all kinds of things, which puts up a negative front. But in reality, people love us. For sure, the Creator loves us. Feeling loved is one of the important experiences in Olam HaYedidut. Now you'll tell me, but doesn't everyone feel loved? So the truth is, even sometimes children don't feel loved by their own parents, even though they are loved. Just because Hashem loves you doesn't mean you're going to feel loved. And just because your mother loves you doesn't mean you're going to feel she loves you. A person can sometimes not feel the love that is being sent their way. It's a reality that we see every day, all day. So therefore, if you're in Olam HaYedidut, if you're in this world, so in this world, you're going to find Ahava. You're going to find someone who loves and someone who feels loved. It's a beautiful world to be in. In this world of Yedidut, you will find Nedivut. Yeah, I wrote down here for you examples. Nedivut means you'll find people who are givers, people who are thinking of others. They're putting others ahead of themselves. In the world of Yedidut, you'll find harmony. Harmony means that relationships are nice and pleasant. It's not friction. In the world of Yedidut, you'll find simha. You'll find people, in that world, you'll find people who are full of inner happiness, not the outer happiness that people try to show or try to figure out where to find it, but inner simha, a tremendous simha that flows from within to the outside, not to the outside in. That's what happens in Olam HaYedidut. In Olam HaYedidut, you'll find people who are secure. They're secure in their relationships. They're secure in their daily living. They feel security. They don't get nervous. They don't have anxiety. They're not scared. They go to sleep at night. They're not worried because they're secure. When a person is secure, even in Olam HaYedidut, there might be challenges in their life. Olam HaYedidut, not one place did we say, and we're not going to say, that in this world, everything's going to go exactly your way. That's not what we're saying. The world may continue to give you challenges and things along the way that everybody here has experienced and will continue to do so. But somehow, with all of that, if you're in Olam HaYedidut, you still feel secure. In Olam HaYedidut, there's optimism. There are things to look forward to. There are good things coming up in my life. Even if I see some darkness, or maybe even a lot of darkness, but I know that this darkness is going to lead to something good. Vayhi erev, vayhi boker. I know how to translate darkness. I don't translate darkness as an end of something. I translate darkness as the beginning of something. I have a different eye. I have optimism. I see something good in the future of my life. I see the good in people. I have an ayin tova. I see somebody, the first thing on my mind is their good attributes, not their bad attributes. I actually live with good people. Me and somebody else could live in the same world. He lives with bad people, I live with good people, but they're the same people. Well, it has to do with the way we look at things. So if you live in an Olam HaYedidut, you're living in a world of optimism, a world that's positive. If you live in Olam HaYedidut, you have peace of mind, which is one of the greatest gifts of life, to be at peace, not to be a person who is constantly conflicted within, not knowing where they should be going, where they should be saying, what they should be. No conflict, not even inner conflict. Peace of mind. Your mind is at peace because you have clarity. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know what you're not supposed to be doing. You know when you make a mistake. You know how to fix it. You have peace of mind. You may make mistakes, but you have clarity because your mind is at peace. You're not conflicted. Am I doing the right thing? Should I not be doing this? Should I be doing that? It's not like that. Not that kind of world. Olam HaYedidut. That is a beautiful world for anybody to live their life. There is called Olam HaZarut. You know what Zarut means? Zar. Stranger. Not so comfortable. Not so good. What do we find over there when people are in Olam HaZarut? What are they doing? What are they involved in? So in that world, you'll see a lot of anger, a lot of angry people. I just now, I was coming here, driving here, and the guy has a license plate. Here it goes. You ready? It's like a good message to me. It says, "Yeah, I am mad." Beautiful. Such inspiring words. That's beautiful. Imagine sharing with your children your new license plate. You paid extra for it. They didn't just give it to you. You had to pay for it. Yeah, I am it. That is what you find in Olam Hazarut. You find a lot of angry people. Now, not everybody who's angry shows it on their license plate. And not everybody shows it on their face and their words. But inner anger is definitely one of the most common things that people have. Unless you worked on it for a long time, it's probably part of your life. You're just angry at different things. Some things are very meaningful and some things not so meaningful, but you get angry. In Olam Hazarut, there are many things in life that anger you. Sometimes your parents anger you. Many times your children anger you. Very often your spouse angers you. Your friends for sure are angering you. Even God himself angers you. Why he didn't give you certain things? Why did he get you stuck in this life the way you are? Why didn't he give you certain things? Why did he give that person? It's not fair. It's all kinds. Whenever someone says it's not fair, it means they're angry. When they say I'm upset, it means they're angry. When they say I'm hurt, it means they're angry. I'm disappointed means they're angry. And many, many, many words that we have, very fancy words, they all mean the same thing. They just mean I'm angry. In Olam Hazarut, you find angry people. You find people full of hatred. Every person they meet, they have something to hate them for. Whether it's family, or neighbors, or just they go to a wedding and they just look around and they just see a lot of different people that deserve to be hated for whatever reason. Sometimes it's because the way they talk. Sometimes they don't talk so nicely and that's why we hate them. Sometimes they're not so religious. Maybe sometimes because they did something personally to us. Or maybe they did someone to someone that we know. Whatever the reason, there's someone to hate. Sin'ah. Aitzev. Aitzev means sadness. A lot of sadness. Not the upbeat guy in the Olam Hedidut, this guy. He's full of sadness. He's always down on life. Doesn't really want to wake up so early. Not interested in living with excitement because he has the atzvut. The sadness weighing them down. In this place, you find a lot of nervousness. Roges, nervous. People are nervous. They don't know. They're worried. They have all kinds of things. They're not secure. Nervous people that need to take a lot of medication just to keep them not nervous. Medication is good for people who have a problem. Very often the problem comes because you're in Olam Hazarut. When you walk into Olam Hazarut, they hand you a prescription. You need this kind of medicine because in this world, you're going to get nervous. You're going to be all kinds of worries on your head. And you're not going to be able to sleep at night. So here goes. Bikortiut, which means it's a world where people are constantly criticizing each other. People are constantly putting each other on the flame of criticism. Instead of helping people by making them better, it's more like putting them down by criticizing them. Kin'ah, it's a world full of jealousy. In Olam Hayedidut, it's a world full of satisfaction. In the world of Yedidut, you see someone, how are you doing? Great, I have everything. Thank God. I have more than I deserve. Not just words, but real. That's what you find in Olam HaYidut. You find people that have more than they deserve. In Olam HaZarut, they just don't have enough. They don't have what other people have. They deserve more. Why do I deserve this? How come I don't have that? Kin'ah, da'aga, worry. Says the Aleshur, Rav Volba, that if we wanted to define what Torah does, what does it do? What do mitzvot do for a person? So we look at mitzvot maybe as a religious act. It's what we do in the religious side of our life. Or maybe we think mitzvot are like a way to serve God, as if we're bringing God a sacrifice of our mitzvah. But mitzvot are way bigger than all of that. Mitzvot are the ingredients that put a person in Olam HaYedidut. The formula of mitzvot is the ingredients of ending up in such a world. Some of the mitzvot a person will love, some of them he will not love, some he will understand more than others, but it doesn't matter. The creator of the world says, this is the formula how you end up in that world. In a book called Be'er Mayim Hayim, he says something very, very beautiful. He says that every mitzvah is like a tzinor. A tzinor is a pipe. He says this pipe is built by the person who does the mitzvah. He says when you build that pipe, each mitzvah, when you're committed to it, we're talking here about commitment to mitzvot. We're talking about a person who says, okay, I am committed to the mitzvot of the Creator. He commands me, I do. When you commit to a mitzvah, you're building that pipe, says the Be'er Mayim Hayim, and on the other side of the pipe that you're building, there is a connection to a world of light, he calls it, kol mine ora. Light means clarity. Confusion is the opposite of clarity. It's a world of light, which means a commitment to mitzvot brings clarity to a person's life. Kol mine tova, all kinds of good things, beracha, simcha, ahava, mina mekor ha'elyon. In the words of the Aleshur, he would have said, Olam hayedidut. Says the Be'er Mayim Hayim, when you build your pipes, each pipe is connected to another light, another gift that comes into your life, and together they create a world of Yedidut. He says, if a person builds the pipes very nicely, without cracks, a person does mitzvot the right way, the right action, the right intent. The more perfect is our commitment to mitzvot and our fulfillment of mitzvot, that is how much we will be able to live in Olam HaYedidut. When we speak about mitzvot, like I said, it's possible that our understanding is from a very young age that we're doing something nice and another nice thing. And I got a mitzvah note for this. I got a mitzvah note for that. So we look at it as like a bunch of nice things, but it's not like that. It is nice, but it's much more than that. It's a lifestyle. Mitzvot is not the act. The mitzvot is a commitment to the one who's commanding. It's a pipeline between us and the Creator. If one does nice things in his life, so it's very nice. But that doesn't connect you to the Creator and the pipe. The mitzvot is connected to the commander, the metzaveh. When I do a command, I'm connected to the one who's commanding. That is how the pipe is built. A person who's committed to mitzvot is a person who's connected to the source of all that we mentioned and more of Olam HaYedidut. The Hatam Sofer on the famous Mishnah in Perkei Avot that says, Sachar mitzvah, mitzvah. The Mishnah says the reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah. What does that mean? The reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. That's not normally how things work. Usually you do something and we say the reward of this is that. But the reward of this is this. That doesn't make sense. So says the Hatam Sofer, he gives the most beautiful mashal. He says, imagine that there would be a warehouse that is full of the most beautiful light, the most tasty, the best smelling perfumes, a warehouse full of pleasures, top pleasures. Problem is, the warehouse is completely surrounded by very heavy walls, and nobody can get in. So nobody's able to enjoy anything that's inside. Someone comes and breaks down all the walls. He says, nothing new came here. All of a sudden, they're seeing the light. They're enjoying the pleasures. There's nothing new in there. It was always there. But you weren't able to get in because you had walls that were blocking you. Says the Hatam Sofer, that is the world of mitzvot. The world of mitzvot is a world that has in it, Hashem put Olam Haba in the mitzvot. The Olam Haba existence, the Olam HaYedidut existence is actually in the mitzvot. Now a person will not see anything from the outside. If I tell you, do all these mitzvot and you'll have Olam Haba, you'll say, I don't see how Olam Haba has to do with this. I don't get it. The way I eat, the way I dress, the way I keep Shabbat, the way I don't understand. I don't understand what connection there is between this and Olam Haba. What are you talking about? That's part of being surrounded by the body, the physical body, is unable to see the Olam Haba in the mitzvot. So when we look at a mitzvah, when I give someone a mitzvah book, they look at all different obligations. They don't see anything in here that is gorgeous. It's like if I gave someone that warehouse as a gift. Here's a warehouse. And they look at the warehouse and they say, oh, there's nothing useful here. I can't even walk in. I don't see what this warehouse is going to do in my life. That's what happens. Hashem gives us mitzvot. He gives us a warehouse full of Olam HaYedidut, but because of our physical block, we're not able to see inside. But when a person commits themselves to mitzvot and starts to fulfill the mitzvot and to unlock all the physical barriers by going into a mitzvah, all of a sudden, you found what the real mitzvah is. There's nothing new here. That's what the mitzvah always was. Says the Hatam Sofer, Sechar mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah is the mitzvah. It was always something gorgeous. But because you were on the outside, so you had no clue of what that mitzvah is going to do for you. But the minute you committed to it, and the minute it became part of your life, all of a sudden, you understood that the reward of the mitzvah is not something else. The reward of a mitzvah is not olam haba. The mitzvah is olam haba. It's just that you need to go and break the walls and become committed to it. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in a different world. You do that with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You do all that you need to do. You stand waiting for a commandment from the commander, and all of a sudden, you enter Olam HaYedidut. It's such a beautiful thing to see when you see the outcome of such results. Sometimes in life, Hashem gives you like a moment of clarity. I'm sure it's happened to you. It's for sure happened to me a number of times where I just saw the difference between people in Olam HaYedidut and Olam HaZarut. It was very obvious. And even sometimes obvious why it's like that. A grandfather approached me a few months ago, sharing with me, doesn't matter how we got into the conversation, but he was sharing with me the story of his family. He's not such an observant man, or at least wasn't. I would say today he's more than he was. And he has in his family all kinds. He has the more observant kind. He has the non-observant kind. He's got them all. And he's close to them. Baruch Hashem, he's close to all of them. He says, I sit on my Shabbat table with family A. I see kids that are calm, kids that are listening to their grandfather, kids that respect their parents, kids that have a sort of peace to them. They're not perfect kids, but they have a surah. There's a certain look about them. I sit the next lunch with other kids and they're like flying. Their mind is flying. They're just not there. They have different ways of communicating. They have less kind of respectful approaches to their parents and grandparents. It's like very obviously different. You could tell which young man is or young lady is in Olam HaYedidut or is in Olam HaZarut. You don't have to be so smart. You don't have to be a big rabbi either. Just have to look at them well and you'll see. You'll see a person who is, again, is their life perfect? No. Nobody's life is perfect. But they're living in a different capacity. Olam HaYedidut. Sechar mitzvah. You think the reward of a mitzvah is what Hashem is going to give you. So Hashem, what are you going to give me for this mitzvah? But this Mishnah says, no. What do you mean I want to give you? I gave it to you. It's the mitzvah. That's the reward. That's what it is. You raise your child with mitzvot as his guide. You have a beautiful child. Bottom line, that is the reward. You don't need anything else. That's the Olam Haba. Hashem put Olam Haba in this world. Again, it's a physical world. Looking for a spiritual type of life. Where is that? It's in the mitzvot. When you keep mitzvot, it gives you Olam Haba in this world, and you find yourself in the Olam HaYedidut. You find yourself in a very beautiful, friendly world. Let me share with you one more thing that's important before we go. It's important to realize the benefits of the mitzvot, as we mentioned. But there are sometimes benefits that you don't even think for a moment and then afterwards realize how big they are. I will call them maybe side benefits. At least to us, it looks like a side benefit. Probably from the Creator's world, it's it's the benefit itself. You know, there are two types of people. We describe them in these two worlds. There's a giver and there's a taker, two types of people, givers and takers. Givers are energetic. Givers are godly. Givers is olam haba. Takers are the opposite of godliness. Takers are never satisfied. You see, you give a giver something, he appreciates it. Says, thank you, I can't believe, I don't deserve it. You give a taker something, he didn't give me enough. That's all I deserve, I don't understand. How come I don't get this? How come I don't get that? Givers and takers. The story of Gan Eden and Gehinam. Giving is a life of Gan Eden. Takers are living in a life that's the opposite. You know, they say a story about a man who went to heaven after 120. So they told him, listen, we're going to show you Gan Eden. We're going to show you Gehinam. Which one you want to see first? So he says, let me see Gan Eden. He goes to Gan Eden. Can't believe his eyes. The place is absolutely stunning. Gorgeous. Never saw anything like it. Not only is the place stunning, but the pleasures that's available in Gan Eden, the food that's there, they have a banquet. Can't believe his eyes. What a place. They take him next to Gehinam. They open the doors to Gehinam. He can't believe his eyes. The exact same place. Gorgeous, stunning. The pleasures, the same. He's all confused, can't understand. This is Gan Eden, that's Gehinam, but they're the same. They both have the same pleasures. They both have everything identical. How could it be Gan Eden, Gehinam? They told him, did you look good? Did you look close? I thought I did. I looked at everything there. He says, did you notice that in Gan Eden and in Gehinam, people had, everybody has, very, 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 very long arms. Their arms are very long. So long are their arms that when they grab something to eat it, they can't bring it back to their mouth. They don't have like the elephant has of the trunk that rolls back to their mouth. So now they have their hands. Till they get the item, it's far away. It's 20 feet away. But then they can't put it in their mouth. He's okay. I saw that in both places. He says, yeah, but in Gan Eden, the people there are givers. So everyone is feeding each other. So everyone is enjoying themselves. But in Gehinam, you have all takers. And no one wants to feed each other. So they're all starving. They have all the pleasures of life, but they can't enjoy it. Givers and takers. It's a life of Gan Eden or Gehinam. Now we're born takers. And we need to become givers. But that's not so easy to do. It's not like you could turn on a switch. Okay, I'm a giver now. One of the most critical ways of changing a child or an adult from taker to giver is to live a life committed to mitzvot. When you live a life committed to mitzvot, you become a giver. And if you ask me why, I'll explain to you. The Gemara says that greater is the one who is commanded and does a mitzvah than the one who is exempt and does the mitzvah. When I'm exempt and I do a mitzvah on my own, it's not as great as when I have to do it and I'm commanded to do it. Obviously, the statement is surprising because we would have thought the opposite. We would have thought someone who's not commanded and on their own, they volunteer to go and do the mitzvah is greater than the one who has to do it. But Chazal says it's not like that. Gadol ha-metzuveh ve'oseh, the one who's commanded mitzvah is greater than the one who does it voluntarily. Why? When a person acts out of obligation, just like they are givers and takers, people who act out of obligation are givers. You see, if I'm a person who's a giver and you give me something, so I feel obligated to do something for you. If I'm a taker and you give me something, I don't feel obligated. So what's the sign of a person who is a giver is when they feel obligated to give back when they receive something. When I teach my children about commitment to mitzvot, not good deeds, mitzvot, that we have a mitzvah, the Creator wants us to keep Shabbat. I don't keep Shabbat because it's nice. It happens to be very nice, but that's not why I keep Shabbat. I keep Shabbat because it's a mitzvah. My observance is mitzvot, not good deeds, not ma'asim tovim. So what am I teaching my child? I'm teaching my child that when someone gives you something, you're obligated to give back. A Jew wakes up in the morning and the first thing he says, oh, I woke up today. Modei ani. I owe you. So what do you want me to do? Oh, you want me to wash my hands? Great. Love it. I'm right there. And then not only do I wash my hands, I make a beracha too. Asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav. Hashem, you gave us kedusha. You gave us a great world through your mitzvot. Your mitzvot, I appreciate the mitzvot that you give me. But I am here at your service. You woke me up today. I didn't deserve to wake up today. So if I wake up, modei ani, the first word out of my mouth is, what do I owe you? Now what do you want me to do? Oh, you want me to take care of my children? I'm in. All in. I don't take care of my children because I love them. Some people take care of their children because they love them. It's nice. But then there is something nicer. It's called that they are God's children, which is the truth. Don't fool yourself. They're not your children. They're God's children. And He commanded you to take care of them. So take care of my kids. I'm in. I'm ready. I will do my job, whatever I can do. And that's how a person who lives with mitzvot lives all day long. Oh, I see somebody in the street. Okay, what do you want from me? Oh, you want me to smile at them? I'm in, of course. You want me to do things so I could show them love and love them? I'm in. How do you want me to deal with my parents? What should I do? I'm in. You tell me what to do. I want to pay you back. One day is next. It's over. Now, next morning, I woke up again. Wow, okay. I owe a lot for my health, for my family, for my years on this earth, from the pleasures that you give me. I'm overwhelmed. So what do I do now? Like Yaakov Avinu says in this week's parasha, katonti mikol hasadim, I feel so small. You gave me so much. I don't do enough. What should I do? Tell me. I'm ready. You don't want me to eat that? I'm not going to eat it. 100%. I don't not eat kosher, not kosher because it's not healthy. It's very healthy. It's very good tasting. I love it. I have no issue with it. You know why? Because you told me not to. I'm not doing it. That's it. Mitzvah. Because I owe you. You know what that does to a person? Have you any idea what that does? Do you have any idea what days and days and days of living life with an obligation what that does to a person, it turns my child to a giver. It turns my child to a person who respects his parents. It turns my child to someone who appreciates what life has to offer, because they are now givers. So when they receive even small things, they say, wow, I'm so lucky I got that. I'm so satisfied. I got more than I deserve. And many, many, many things are built just from that part alone. Not even the mitzvah, not even the warehouse inside. The warehouse inside we already spoke about. The mitzvot have inside all the blessings of life. The olam hayedidut is in the mitzvot. But even outside the mitzvah, just what brings the person to a mitzvah, when you and I commit ourselves to mitzvot, to be ready for the commandments of the Creator because I owe Him. Once that becomes my lifestyle, I become a giver of the highest caliber. And I'm a changed human being. In so many ways, I stop complaining. I don't complain. I used to complain. When I was a taker, I complained all the time because I always felt like I wasn't getting enough. But now I'm a giver. I don't complain. In fact, I'm so thankful. I don't know how to express myself. And on and on and on. My life doesn't necessarily get easier, but it gets sweeter. I live in olam hayedidut. That's what the Ramchal is teaching us. Ha'emtzayim. You come into this world, you're in a physical reality. Hashem took the Gan Eden of next world and He put it inside the mitzvot. And a person who commits themselves to the mitzvot with the right understanding and approach to mitzvot is a person who is entering a whole different world. You may see them on the street next to other people. They may be walking to the same place. They may be eating the same food. They may be wearing the same shoes. But they're very different people. Just like Gan Eden and Gehinnom. Same people, same food, the same banquet, but very different and opposite experiences. Olam hayedidut or olam hazarut. What does it depend on? Something called mitzvot. Mitzvot, schar mitzvah, mitzvah. How fortunate a person is if they understand this reality and they live up to it, their life transforms into something that they couldn't ever imagine with the warehouses locked. They couldn't imagine what could be behind this warehouse. There's nothing here. And all of a sudden, so much comes out and they never imagined what life could have been without that beautiful warehouse. Olam Haba is in this world and its only address is called mitzvot. Have a wonderful day.